Hello and welcome. This is Corey Angelot. Welcome to the End of Slavery Summit. I'm here joined by David Rodriguez, and he's got a lot of really great projects and a lot of great works that he's done. I'm finding out that he knows a lot of people that I know too, and he is doing a lot of great work. So we're going to be talking today about how parents can free their children from school enslavement and empower them to live powerfully. So if you want to introduce a little bit about yourself and why this topic is really important to you, please, I'm glad to have you.
Yep. Corey, thanks for having me on the summit here. And I help parents remove their children from the government monopoly compulsory school system through accelerated graduations and homeschool consulting. I find a lot of rewarding satisfaction there because I went through the system, as many of us did, and I felt something really terribly wrong with having to get permission to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, and not being able to study what I wanted. I mean, it's unbelievable that this thing's been going on so long. So after I watched Richard Grove's 5-hour interview with John Taylor Gatto, and I had previously heard about him, but that really solidified what's going on in schools. And one of my mentors asked me, I asked him about, you know, how do you find your purpose in life? Because I was in some financial service businesses, and these guys are making money, but it was like, I feel like I'm here for something bigger than money. And he said, find an injustice large on the planet and spend your life trying to correct that injustice. And so some of these things, with a few other things, help me realize that I'm here to help end the compulsory school system and contribute to solutions. I realize it's a major business enterprise and critical for the enslavement and the control of the planet. But I am still a child at heart. And I think that's one of the keys to learning. I'm principal of a private school called Valor Academy, where we do those accelerated graduations, homeschool leader, we do homeschool consulting. And those are really the main practices. I did get into business with John Taylor Gatto and helped him republish his Underground History. And we have volume one out and two more volumes coming, because I think it's really important to understand where the system came from, where you have to get permission to urinate and defecate. I mean, think about the ridiculousness of that. So that's just a quick background. I love freedom. I love peace. I was raised in a very small town, so I love people, and I have hope in humanity despite what we're seeing out there. And I feel a really great awakening towards freedom and self-ownership that's happening right now. And it's an amazing time to be alive. And so, yeah, it's great to be with your audience, and we'll share some of the solutions and some way to empower parents and the next generation so we can really grow freedom on this planet.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're focusing on parents and children, the school system, because it's something that does affect a lot of people today. And a lot of parents feel like, I don't have the time to, help my children to school them myself if I'm doing homeschooling. And they're trying to look for different solutions because they don't always want them in the system. And they find out how bad the system is. I mean, how bad really is the system? Do parents really need to get their kids out of that system? Is it because of all these restrictions? Is it? I mean, some people already know it's bad, but what if people don't really know it's bad? Do they think, oh, well, if the kid comes home and I just talk to him a little bit, I can help him. I can guide him through the process. I mean, do you think it's really important they take the kid out, or?
Yes, that's a great point. Yes. So there are circumstances where, families can't do it for whatever reason. They can't remove their child. And so in that case, I suggest you have a very honest, authentic conversation with them about what is happening at 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. What is this? The bells ringing every 45 minutes. Strangers, are blocking you from going to the bathroom, giving you assignments. And so you can let them know. And this is where mom and dad come in. And this is kind of the first point, is that you got to know that the state school system was designed to create obedient people to the state. So specifically, thought patterns, attitudes, habits, and allegiances, behavior is what it is. So that's what it was designed for. And here we are, 2022, you get 12 years of compulsory schooling where you don't get to choose your curriculum. You don't get to choose where you go. And so, yes, you can still, remedy the situation by talking to your child about, hey, this superficial world, getting permission, like that doesn't exist anywhere else except in prison and state compulsory schools, and let them know, hey, we're mom and dad are both working, or a single parent or something like that. So I have a lot of empathy for, parents who can't do it. But as we're looking at the curriculum right now, 2022, 5 years ago, it was diabolical. In 30 years ago, 50 years ago, it was still bad. But now the state school curriculum is telling a young boy that he can be a girl and a young girl that she can be a boy. And that is totally false. This is a destruction of their identity. This is attacking the self-evident truth. If I look down and I have a lingam, that means I'm a boy, I'm a man, and opposite for a woman, you know? So they're attacking the actual truth, and truth and justice are directly related. So rather than the schools trying to empower the full potential of your child to achieve their goals, their dreams, their ideals, to make the world a better place, no, they're talking about climate change, which is, you know, a form of communitarianism or communism, as Rosa Corey says, and social justice, right? So they've gotten rid of the self-evident truth, which you own your body, you own your life, and you own your property. And that's all within this beautiful thing that source or creator or nature, evolution gave us, this body. And they've gotten away from that. So the curriculum is very disempowering. And I think as parents understand the history of schooling, and you can look at that interview with John Taylor Gatto, it goes back to Germany or Prussia. And even before that, you know, rulers have always known that if you control the minds of the people, then you don't have to physically put chains on them. They will put chains on themselves. And we saw that with the last 2.5 years of the scamdemic, when these Karens or Darens come around telling you wear a mask, and you're like, oh, the order or this or that's like, you don't have any authority to force me to take a medical device on my face. So, and then schools are forcing the mask on the kids, and schools are forcing the jabs, the vaccines on the children. So I think if you don't have a plan to get your child out, I think you might want to start thinking about one, whether you do it tomorrow, next week, or next year. Really take it serious that when you put your child in these schools, they are getting some mental brainwashing, some mind control, and it is very disempowering. And what we want to do is liberate them so that they can actually see the truth that the world is the classroom. Learning is fun. It's exciting. And as you become an educated individual, you know that learning is lifelong. So from birth until death, we're always learning, you know. And even though I'm on the interview side, I'm learning from you. We're learning from each other. We're seeing, you know, what's right. going on in Pennsylvania and the summit, and you're an author as well. So there's a continual back and forth with educated people versus the state system, which is I'm in charge, you do what I want. Whereas in a, let's say, homeschool environment or a truly open source environment, everyone is learning, everyone's a student, and everyone's a teacher. And so I think that's really important for parents to understand, is that the history of the school shows you what's really going on. And at that point, that should put some fire under your bottom and say, okay, I got to figure out some solutions. And whether you work with me or other people, there's a lot of solutions out there. Go to StartPage or SwissCals or some other search engine out there and type in your question, and you will find really great answers. But hopefully I'll provide some answers with the rest of this conversation as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I was going to say, like, hey, you know, so you're also building alternatives, right? You're not just saying the system is bad. Well, if people don't think, oh, well, maybe it's, you know, that bad, well, they can look at this system and decide for themselves what they want to do, right? And see, well, do they want this mandatory schooling system, or do they want the system that supports the individual and their own learning process? So I kind of want you to share a little bit about these programs you mentioned. You mentioned some before. Where could people find more information about that? And before you get into that, I just want to say that, you know, when you talk about like the history of the schooling system and how corrupt it is, what also comes to mind is a book that is written by a man. He calls himself Etienne de la Bourcie. It's French. He took that name from somebody from the 1600s. It's a book called Understanding Our Slavery from the Art of Liberty Foundation. And I think the website is government-scam.com. And it's a book that he wrote, and it goes over the history in detail, talking about the economic system and the schooling system and how and the techniques that they use in pretty detailed methods. So do you want to share with us your methods then for the alternatives to that school system and why they're better because they're not mandatory, for example, and where people can learn more about them?
Sure. So maybe 8 years ago, my dream was to start like a physical school with a building. And then as I looked into it, I realized that is very cost prohibitive, and that's why a lot of people didn't do schooling. So I kept searching. One of the courses I took was how to start a school, and they introduced me to a school, a physical school, which has been going on for 100 years in England, completely voluntary. And the name of the school is called Summerhill. And here's how the school works. You show up, they give you a list of optional classes, and they say, check off the classes you want to take this semester. And if you don't want to take any classes, no problem. Go play. Go have fun. We have 10 acres of land here. There's a bike ramp in the front. There's musical instruments in the barn, and go play. And there's a movie about it from 2008. I recommend parents watch it. It's so emotional because there's so much trust involved with the child that I wish I had that as a youngster as well. And I couldn't believe that this school was going on. Well, that's called a democratic school. And I learned that there's other democratic schools, some been around for like 40 or 50 years in the US called Sudbury schools. And then I attended some conferences and learned and talked with the people. I interviewed Peter Gray and Sugata Mitra and some of these other great educators, learned, trying to find what is really the truth of education. And if you look at the root word of education, educo, it means to pull from within, to elicit, to pull out. And so this refers to that we're all born geniuses, like Buckminster Fuller said, the great, you know, humanitarian scientist. And the challenge is we get de-geniused trying to please our teachers and please our parents. Or as Pablo Picasso said, every child's a born artist, but they lose their artistry as they become an adult. And so the philosophy at Valor Academy stands on two concepts. The first one is that the world is the classroom and class is always in session. This is a very fundamental part of a self-educated individual. It's always happening. Whether you're in a building, you're in nature, you're on a boat, you're in a plane, you're wherever, you're in a hospital. If you are someone looking for knowledge and skills and facts and truths, they're everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere. So that's the first one. The second concept is that anything, anybody you can learn from can be a teacher. So when you start your homeschooling journey, or even if you're not, still don't consider yourself to be a teacher and you're going to replicate the school system at home. Okay, that's phase one of homeschooling evolution. It's 10 o'clock, time for math. Oh, 1 o'clock, language arts, right? So you've replicated that system at home. Phase two is to de-school. So when you remove your child from the school system, you want to let them decompress from that superficial environment because they're under stress. They're being forced. They're around total strangers. They don't know anybody. And the rule of thumb is that for every year they're in a compulsory learning environment, you want to give them a month of total freedom. And so what that means is if you have a fifth grader and you take them out of the school and you're not homeschooling, you want to give them 5 months to sleep all day if they want, to play video games all day if they want, to do whatever they want so they can decompress. The analogy is that if you have a bottle of soda, you shake it up, don't open it and drink it, you open it and let the pressure release. Same thing for our children. You have to let all that pressure release, and then eventually they'll come back down to earth. And as humans, we love to learn, except when we're forced to do it. And then step three is homeschooling itself. And how I define homeschooling is that homeschooling is when a leader creates an atmosphere where personalized learning can occur. And so mom and dad, you're the leader. You brought this young being, child, son or daughter into the world. And so you're the leader. And so you're creating an atmosphere. What type of atmosphere do I suggest? An atmosphere where it's calm and respectful and peaceful, and where mistakes are welcome, and you're not judging them on their results. You're judging them on their efforts, their intentions. Of course, later they will need to perform in life to, you know, make a living and do all these things as adults. But initially, they're just trying to find self-confidence. They're just trying to find that place inside of them where they're courageous, where they're expressive. And that's why in school, we learn to be afraid of public speaking. We learn to be afraid to ask questions because our friends are going to mock us and make fun of us. But in a real educational environment, in the entertainment business, it's called the writing room, or the writer's room I don't like entertainment because that kind of has a bad connotation with Hollywood, but like I should say in the high performance world, the writer's room, we're trying to make a movie, we're making a story. It's a very safe environment. And that's what you're creating in your house. It's okay to ask questions, even if they're super stupid. It's okay to make mistakes, right? That's how we learn. Sometimes mistakes are the greatest teacher. And then phase four of the homeschooling evolution, in my opinion, is 100% self-directed learning. And some people call that unschooling. And that's where now, as a mom and dad, you don't have to create the environment, the atmosphere, because your son or daughter knows that their education and their success is up to them. It is their responsibility. You've done what you could as a mother and father. I believe it's our responsibility to be the champion of unconditional love. That is our main role, and to help build trust in the relationship. Everything else is immaterial or almost less important than just loving your child, loving and loving and loving and trusting and trusting. And eventually, and it took me 20 years to realize my mother's love for me, my father's love. But then eventually you realize somebody loves you no matter what, no matter whether you're high performer, low performer, fat, healthy, sick, you know, poor, rich, it doesn't matter. I am loved. And then that answers some of the questions of like, am I lovable? Am I good enough? And you only have maybe 15, 18 years, 20 years to do that, you know, in your house. And then the thought patterns, the beliefs, the attitudes are already there instilled in your child. So that's the kind of the homeschooling fundamentals I give, you know, for parents. And then the teenage component, as I said, we do accelerated graduations. And so I'm graduating people that are age 14, 15, 16, because they're either bored out of their mind, they're being disrespected. You know, sometimes they're 17, 18 years old, still having to get permission to go to the bathroom. One of my recent clients, they had to sign like 3 pieces of paper. He's 18. He's a senior in high school, and he thought he could make it through the last year. But, you know, I think we're probably going to graduate him in the next month or two. Get him out. Get him out and start going to community college. Do some apprenticeships. Do some internships. But there's no need to sit in your chair in front of a stranger who you'll probably never see again. Bless your soul. You know, my mother was a public school teacher. I have family members that are teachers. But I haven't heard from any of them, you know, the teachers, you know, since I've graduated. It's a job. God bless them. But they see 100 to 125 students a day, and they barely know your child's name. But you love your child. You are there for your child. You're going to be there forever.
Right.
So you have all the qualifications required to homeschool your child, which we now see we're not even like being the teacher. I teach my clients that better than a teacher, you're their learning partner. You're their guide. You're their coach. You're a facilitator. So then rather being on opposing sides of the table, you're on the same side of the table. And hey, let's do it together. Because if you went to public school or most private schools, you weren't given the freedom to study what you wanted to study. These devices have changed the planet. And it's only been about, what, 15 years? And so imagine in 5 years, in 10 years, you know, information is overwhelming on the earth, on the internet. So now one of the most important skills is learning to concentrate, learning to focus, not more information, less information. We have to chop up the information that is no longer relevant to find out what is relevant for your child. And one of the questions I give to my clients also is, what do you desire for your child? Well, I want him to be successful. Great. What does that look like? Well, happy, healthy, independent, they can produce, you know, make their own income or livelihood and be independent adult. Great. That's generally the answer I get across the board from every parent. So if that's your definition of success, or that's what you desire for your child, how are you going to get there? Are you going to get there by giving them to strangers who are enforcing and implementing a curriculum, which is basically denying the truth of gender, or fabricating the climate change, you know, hoax? And it's not to say that the climate is not changing, but what is it really about? In my conclusion, the United Nations is trying to build a global totalitarian state and say it's in the name of saving the planet and saving the children, saving the, you know, animals. But in Richard Grove's recent presentation with Foster Gamble. He showed the primary evidence from the 1880s, 1890s, I think, with the Rothschilds, showing that they already were looking for the problem to make a global government. And it was, you have to make man his own enemy. So then that's where it's like, you and your carbon, and you got to reduce it. And, you know, the humans are killing the earth. No, there's a technocratic, hyper-wealthy predator class that is attacking humanity, and they want to enslave humanity, and they want to RFID chip everybody. And you can see that evidence with Aaron Russo, his firsthand testimony from Nicholas Rockefeller. That is exactly what they said. They want to chip. So there, it's a slow incrementalization of, this is the problem, here's the solution. And if we go to the end game, say, you know what? I don't want this slavery to continue, which is one reason I love the name of your summit, The End of Slavery. And I have my definition of slavery is being forced to do work against your will while your freedom is restricted. And that is exactly what's happening in schools from age 6 to age 18. Your child's being forced to do schoolwork against their will. And most of the teachers are really good-hearted, well-intentioned people. As I mentioned, I have loving people in my family, but they only have about 5% to change the curriculum. But 95%, they get that from the state or the district. And that's how the schools get their money, is by implementing this curriculum. And of course, Common Core a few years ago, Bill Gates was funding that. And you always want to look where the money's coming from. And it's such a diabolical plan, it's almost hard to believe. But go look at the 1910 book from King Gillette. It's called World Corporation. And he laid out how to have a global totalitarian corporation, which makes the state obsolete and just takes over. So these guys were thinking about it over 100 years ago. And when you have all the money in the world, that's what you do. And so the school enslavement that we're trying to get parents to really take serious, that's happening there, is the forming of total obedience to the state authorities. That is the end goal of these coercive schools. So what's the solution? Have voluntary learning. I mentioned Sudbury, Summerhill. There's other schools called Agile Learning Centers, Acton Academies taking off, and a lot of other great schools out there. But it starts with you, mom and dad, is understanding what's going on in the school system. What are my different options and solutions, and how do I get there? And so this is what we're having this conversation for, so we can really redefine what is success. And we mentioned we want happy, healthy, independent children. But then how about you, mom and dad? What is your definition of success? And I invite you to consider modeling those habits and attitudes and behaviors that you want to see. And one of the best ways to do this is to have your own learning project that you're participating in. Even if you're 25 or 35 or 45 or 50 or more, your child, whether they're 5 or 10 years old, they're looking at you and they're saying, oh, wow, mom, what are you doing? Oh, I'm learning how to knit. I'm learning how to paint. Or we're doing gardening today. Or we're learning how to can food, and so when it's voluntary, the kids actually want to help. And I've seen it happen many times with the child's, they want to help wash the dishes, they want to help do the laundry, they want to help. And so you might not see that as educational, but if you look into your child's eyes and see the genius that is there, you see the infinite potential that exists in that beautiful soul, then they will see it later eventually, and then they will say, you know what, my mom believed in me, my dad believed in me, my grandparents, whoever believed in them, and so I'm going to believe in me too. And then that's when you start producing, that's when you start creating, you detach from the results that you are creating, and you become liberated, because now you're not trying to get permission from Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Smith. You're not trying to get a diploma from some state school. You are living, you are being, you are doing stuff that makes you happy, whether you make $1 million or $10, it doesn't matter. And eventually, as you practice these skills, which is why I'm so grateful to be on this summit, because you're creating media. And this is what's so powerful, because for, you know, thousands of years, the rulers created the newspapers, the pamphlets, the printing press, and these types of, let's say the Bible even, you know, you weren't allowed to read the Bible unless you're a priest class. And so the Gutenberg press, you know, in the 1500s got the information out, and all of a sudden people are reading the Bible and they say, we don't got to pay indulgences for our sins. We're connected to Jesus Christ. You know, every man's a priest unto himself. And with the internet revelation, it's like, oh my gosh, we don't need the mainstream media. We don't need the mainstream musicians. We'll just make it ourselves. So there's this bifurcation of humanity, and your child, mom and dad, are being called to be a leader in whatever field that they are in. And as you allow them to love what they're learning, to enjoy what they're doing, they will continue to do it. And this is that persistence. This is that self-discipline where they start to say, wow, I'm an important person. And you say, yes, you are. You are very important, versus being a cog in the wheel in this state school system, trying to trade your life for a piece of paper. And nobody cares about the piece of paper. In my experience, the high school diploma, the college degree, I have a business degree. No one's ever asked to see it. And even people with PhDs, you know, the PhD came from Prussia itself, you know, trying to create the class system like they had over in England, and to make different strata of people, you know, the poor, the middle class, and above. It's like we're all equal. And this is what we're starting to realize. And this is what terrifies these predator psychopaths, is that we're stepping into our power now. And I believe humanity will win. I think we're coming through the kind of the birthing pains of a new consciousness, of a new humanity. But I think the game might be up for these guys, and I think they might know it. So they're going to try keep doing really heinous things. But humanity is really starting to awaken. And so it's our children that I see the hope in. I'm the young child. I still see myself. So these are some of the things for parents to kind of, you know, get a handle on and you know, watch it over again, so you can see some of these concepts. But a lot of these I stole from John Gatto. I stole from some of my other mentors, you know, Charlie Jones, or, you know, Brian Tracy, or Art Williams, a lot of great people who have given me some of this information. Now I want to give it to them, because it is up to them, and it's the next generation that's going to liberate us. And it is through the schools where a lot of this mind control is happening. Physical abuse is happening, sexual abuse. And it's just unacceptable at this point. And we get what we tolerate in life. We get what we allow in life. So if you allow your child in these types of situations, there's nobody to blame except the man in the mirror. Although we have some compassion for each other, because we came from the system and we've been controlled ourselves. The word government, gubernamente, literally means control of the mind. And I love that book by Etienne de la Boetie, Squared, Understanding Our Slavery, or the new title is Government, the Biggest Scam in History, Exposed. And he shows the patterns of these totalitarian states in Russia and Germany, and how they use the schools. They pledge allegiance to the flag. And before I defecate on that practice, I know there's good people in the military, and those good people in government offices and jobs who believe in liberty and justice for all. And I think many of them are unaware that these predators use symbols as a way to create habit reactions. And so if you ever read the Pledge of Allegiance, and in that book is great, it shows, I think it was created in the 1940s from a communist, but you have to read that book to verify that for yourself. But instead of pledge allegiance to the Republic for which it stands, why not pledge allegiance to honesty, to humility, to truth, to freedom, to love, to compassion, to family, to values, you know, to forgiveness and mercy? Those would be worthy allegiances, in my opinion, but you're never going to see that, because that whole system is dependent upon your child not knowing any of these other options existed. And this is the conversation I had with a family member the other day about morality, because as you start to realize, okay, there's government law, codes, statutes, and then there's morality. And I think this is why Martin Luther King and Gandhi are such champions in their fields, is that I think MLK said, it's a man's duty to disobey an unjust law. I think Thomas Aquinas said, it's an unjust law is no law at all. Something to the effect that the government and the politicians can do stuff. But if it's morally wrong, then you have to disobey it. And so this is why people say, well, you know, the mask or the vaccine or whatever, anything, getting a permit to change your own roof or getting a permit to grow a garden in your front yard or collect rainwater. These are absolutely totalitarian measures. And we got to have these conversations with our children. And maybe you don't have to be as, you know, direct as I'm speaking with you, mom and dad, but I sure wish someone told me the truth when I was a young guy, because I was ready for it. You know, age 12, 13, 14, I realized something was wrong. And it was, they were forcing this stuff on me. And now we're so many years later that I feel really a lot of suffering is happening in these schools. And it's up to the parents to do something about it. The uncles, the aunts, the grandfathers can't do it. It's mom and dad, and you can do it. And I think homeschooling has doubled or tripled in some areas in the last 2 or 3 years. And I think it's going to continue to skyrocket. So it's very exciting time. And I think, you know, I'll share, you know, give you some time here because I'm going off. No, this is very exciting. There's a lot of different things to talk about.
This is great. No, I like this because I do see a common theme among what you're talking about. You know, we need to look at the root cause to what's going on. And you're right. There's a lot of beautiful people, I mean, such as yourself, who are sharing a lot of this great information with people saying, hey, here's alternatives to the system. And they're not forcing it by the gun or violence saying, you need to follow what I'm saying. My solution's the only way. No, that's they're right. Saying here are solutions that are perhaps better. And as you will see through our practice, through walking the talk, we are showing it is better, you know, and you have that direct experience, which I think is fantastic. And when you talk about, you know, the teachers and the schools and how they're kind of, you know, pinned down by the government in these systems that are basically built for compliance and for allegiance to the state, we can look at medicine. We can look at policing. And what do we see? The same thing. Doctors can't administer certain medicine because the state gets involved. Police, they have to follow every order these politicians tell them to do. The army, same thing. And I interview a lot of veterans, people who have to deal with a lot of trauma because they're sent overseas to war to fight some people they barely know, right? So there seems to be a reoccurring theme in humanity, especially for thousands of years, and slavery existed for thousands of years, where morality seems to be ignored or excused in the case of authority. So I think morality is important. And if, and you said, you know, humanity is going through this birthing process and through these pains, I think we can emerge, like you said, out of this problem. But if we do focus on that root cause and realize this common chain of events that's been happening for all this time, all this thing that keeps bothering humanity and bringing us into democide, the top cause of unnatural death, and keeps destroying our human race, right? All of us, doesn't matter what culture, what country you're from, we all keep rising and falling because we have these systems and this undying belief in this authority, which we may call statism, you know? So that I see as the root cause. And it's evident when I talk to a lot of people, and I don't intend to make that my agenda. It happens when we start looking deep as to why is the world acting the way it is? Why are people going crazy? They don't know, you know, they're confused, they're in fear, because if they don't comply, they're going to be jailed, they're going to be thrown into a cage. I mean, I do think coaching is important. Like you said, we have to seek out the individual because the individual knows, right? Like you said, the child knows, they just need the questions, they need the guidance to get there. So I thank you very much for sharing that. And I think there is connections to be made worth mentioning. So I think people can look up those resources you mentioned, right? Those particular schools that you mentioned, could they look them up online, or are there certain websites they can go to?
Yeah, absolutely. I started an expo maybe 7 years ago called the Education Options Expo, because in California, they were doing the forced vaccine at the kindergarten and seventh grade. So that's when I started to really see it's freedom time and it's truth time and it's time to rise. And so we did the Education Options Expo. Brandy Vaughn told me directly to my face in 2015 that they had a pipeline of 300 vaccines that they wanted to give to people. And so that was, 7 years ago. And I said, oh my Lord. So most of the speeches I think are on the Education Options TV YouTube channel. And you can see where some of those different options that exist. Watch that Summerhill movie as well. There's stuff on Acton Academy. And again, just redefining what education is and schooling. And so my definition of an education is what you do to yourself to create a good life. And so this is the bigger question is, what is a good life? Exactly. What is a good life, mom and dad? This is what we want to discuss, because now this goes to the moral question and the question of what is morality itself, and, you know, what is a moral wrong and a moral right? And I think it all hinges upon the truth of self-ownership. And I did a speech recently, and I'm working on a little pamphlet now called Intergenerational Freedom. And my definition of intergenerational freedom is the transfer of the knowledge of the truth of self-ownership and non-aggression, because those concepts were so liberating to me when I first discovered them through Murray Rothbard in his great book, For New Liberty, which was written in 1971. And here he is talking about how a voluntary world would exist without the state, because, you know, Ron Paul is one of the main guys who kind of woke me up. And I said, okay, well, seems like the system's corrupted. And somehow I came across that audiobook and started listening to it and said, what about the police? Yeah. Well, what about the police? Well, who would pay them? You know, how would it work? Well, in Detroit, Michigan, there's a gentleman named Dale Brown, and he has an organization called Threat Management Center. It's been going on for over 20 years, maybe 25 years now, completely voluntary. And he has clients that pay him $10 a month, and they patrol the neighborhood. And if there's ever any trouble, they call him up and he's there within 5 minutes. Unlike Detroit police that has a monopoly on services and taxes, and you call the Detroit police and they don't show up for hours, if they do at all. So that was my main concern about police. And then Rothbard covers national security. He covers intellectual property, all these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So there are solutions, but they're not going to fall on your lap necessarily. Right. But creating these types of media is one of the main solutions, I think. And that's why it takes time. We didn't just get here in the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 years. You know, we've been at this thing for at least 200 years in this country, and the Federal Reserve's, you know, over 100 years. So it's intergenerational organized crime, as Howard Lichtman taught me. And so I tried to Aikido that with intergenerational freedom. We got to transfer this knowledge. And this is what we did in Santa Cruz, California. We were out there doing civil disobedience on the beaches because the corona was so smart. It would attack people from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're like, this is not about corona. This is about obedience and slavery. So we got together with our friends. We got the bullhorn. And I went out there. We said, we now declare the beach open. And 12 of us walked on the beach. And the next week there was 20 people. And the next week was 30 and 40. And after 50, 60 people, the county health officer came on television, and I have the video on my YouTube channel, Freedom Lovers TV, and she says, we were hoping to keep the beaches closed, but the people are not willing to be governed anymore, so we have to open up the beaches. She literally said that. Go check that out. So, and then we realized what we were sharing people about the scamdemic and the knowledge, some people are in hypnosis. They're in slave mentality. That's not about information. It's about vibration. And so we started doing free hugs out there. So we gave free hugs for like 50 weeks in a row. And it was very positive, because we're not saying it's a scamdemic or a virus or not. What we're saying is, we send you peace and love. That's it. We send you agape love. That is all we're out here giving, free hugs. That's all we're doing. And we might start that again up here where I'm at now. But the point was that some people would actually come up to us and like berate us for giving free hugs on a voluntary basis in a public area. And I'm looking at these people, and it took me a while, and I was like, what is going on inside of them? They have so much terror. They have so much fear. They have so much belief in the mainstream media, so much belief in the government officials, that some stranger giving hugs on a voluntary basis in public, they have to come up. And one lady, God bless her, she says, you know, it's really dangerous what you're doing out here. And I said, okay. I said, are you really afraid of a virus, ma'am? She's like, I'm very afraid of a virus. I said, ma'am, maybe you should stay home, because, you know, one day we're all going to die. I'm not going to live in fear. Today could be my last day. I want to live in joy. I want to live in love. I want to live in peace. And I send you peace and love. Would you like a free hug? No? Okay, awesome. Thank you. Have a great day. But anyways, these types of conversations were happening. And so your summit is so on point. I can't wait to read your book about slavery, because this is what it is. And they're very tough words, but I think Confucius had it right when he said, the beginning of wisdom is to call a thing by its name. And if your child is doing schoolwork against their will, against your permission, And the only reason you're doing it is because you're afraid of a truancy officer coming and knocking on your door, then that is slavery. And if at least it is a day prison, because if they can't leave from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., or you have to get their permission to take them on a vacation to go see grandma and grandpa or their uncle, or, you know, go see the ocean or the mountains, it's a prison. And so I think some of the work I do is to help liberate the children, to help set the captives free. But mom and dad, you hold the keys to the prison door. And so that's why you want to have these conversations. John Gatto helped validate my feelings. And so part of my conversations with parents is say, you know, you don't have to participate in the system. In fact, when you drive your child to the school and drop them off and tell them to obey the teacher, you are participating by proxy in slavery. And I apologize if that's too direct, but this is what is going on. And if you don't know it by now, watch another documentary called What is a Woman by Matt Walsh, where he goes to interviews pediatric doctors and professors and asks them, what is a woman? And they can't define a woman. Even as the Supreme Court justice, she wouldn't define a woman because she's not a biologist. So they're attacking truth. Truth is directly related to justice, because if you're ever in a court of law, the point of the jury is to find the truth. Was it initiated by this person? Did they coerce somebody? Was it an accident? Was it a mistake? Was it, you know, voluntary or accidental or coercive? But to attack truth is to attack justice. And your child is sitting in these classrooms and they're attacking the truth. They are brainwashing your child. And yeah, you might be able to spend a few minutes with them a day, but from age 6 to age 18, your child spends more time with total strangers hired by the state, funded by taxation, which is robbery. And now their intergenerational plan to build a totalitarian state through the United Nations is coming up into fruition through World Economic Forum. And who's the right-hand man of Klaus Schwab, who's saying free will is over. Humans are not programmable. He's openly telling you they're going to chip your children and remove their free will. And if you have no free will, you have no freedom. So I'm very hopeful that humanity will get out of this, but it's really up to mom and dad. And I have to share some good news here. I'll give it back to you. In Northern California, right? A lot of people have, you know, lost hope in California, but there's a county named Shasta County. This county, October 2021, 45% of students and teachers walked out of school to show they're not going to participate in the forced COVID jab. Well, what happened? 25 county superintendents, school superintendents, wrote a letter to the governor and the health officer and Senator Richard Pan, the vaccine Nazi out here, and said, hey, if you guys force this jab on California, we might lose up to 70 or 80% of our enrollment, because these people up here have already done a walkout with 45% of people walking out. So if we lose that enrollment, we're going to lose state funding. The districts will be fractured. And so as a result, a few months later, Senator Pan scrapped the whole forced COVID jab for the state of California. That clip was produced by Dell Bigtree. And I also put that on my Education Options TV channel as well. It's only 3 minutes long. I watched it. I said, oh my gosh, because you can write your emails. You can make your phone calls. Those also make a slight difference. But when you remove your child from their system, they go into absolute terror and fear, and they back down because they know that so many parents see what they're doing to their children, and they're not going to play around. They're not going to try to run for school board and change the curriculum. We're just going to take our children out of your system. Bye-bye. And I think this is what the solution is. Exit and build, the term with Derek Brose and John Bush. Exit their system and build the world you want to see. I like leave their system and create the world you want to live in. Depart and produce, escape and make, whatever it is. As a child, if we're playing basketball with somebody and they're not being fun. We take our ball, we go to a different court, and we play somewhere else. And I think this is a real solution, is to not try to change the rules of their game and their totalitarianism, but to leave and go start somewhere new. And that's what's happening. There's a lot of people who are starting their own health clinics, start their own schools, start their own grocery stores up in Penn Valley. Mike and Vanessa Cullum, so much respect for them, that we're just going to start our own stuff, our own farms, our own food, independent water, independent energy. Even I've seen a lot of engines running on water on the internet lately, and maybe that's a home generator, maybe that's a car, whatever it is. There's a lot of solutions out there, but it starts with ourselves, mom and dad, changing our mind of what are we seeking? What are we finding for solutions? And understanding that government itself is illegitimate. And I learned this by Lysander Spooner in his great essay from 1871, The Constitution of No Authority, where he proved from a legal perspective that you're not bound to a contract you didn't sign, and nobody can represent you that you didn't appoint to them directly. And I was, oh my God. So we've been lied to. And what's happening is that statism is falling apart, just like the monarchy fell apart. You know, the divine right of kings, I can rule over you because God made me king. And then Magna Carta, I recommend you read that document or listen to the audiobook in 1200. And the barons were going to decapitate this king unless he backed off. And okay, now we have representative government. And so now we went from the monarchy to the constitutional republic. And I believe this next birth is individual self-ownership. It is so self-evident and clear to anybody with an open mind and open ears that you own your body. You own the product of your labor. And anybody who tries to take that from you is a violent or ignorant individual. And humanity is not going to put up with it. We love freedom. We love peace. We love love itself. We love the children. We love the men and the women and the grandparents and the elderly and the trees and the flowers. We love this life. It's amazing to be a human and to address this great thing called life itself, the mystery of how we got here and where we're going and what we're doing here. It is beautiful. And these predator psychopaths are going for the jugular of humanity. And some people are going to take the chip and they are going to go down. We wish those people well. We don't wish harm on anybody. You're given free will. And if you want to, you know, trade your freedom for security, then you're welcome to do that. But the facts and history has shown that the people who have done that have either gotten murdered or received a lot of pain. And it's so open now that people are making great films. Plandemic 3, I just saw the trailer for that. They're exposing what's going on. Very courageous men and women, and that's what it's going to take. The most important virtue, seems to me, is courage, because that guarantees all other virtues of beauty and goodness and love and family. And without it, you know, we're really screwed. So, you know, when we were speaking out in Santa Cruz for a few years, people really appreciate what we're doing down there. We had a group, and we still have the Facebook group, Santa Cruz Voluntarius. And they said, man, we appreciate what you're doing out there, speaking courage. And I said, well, I actually am more afraid of staying silent at this point. You know, so for me, speaking out was kind of the right thing to do, the only thing to do, because staying silent, trying to be a closet freedom lover, just wasn't working. And once I saw what's really going on, the media is controlled. It's like, okay, well, it's up to me, the man in the mirror, and I'm gonna do what I can. And so I was a right to travel activist as well for a few years. I learned about the driver's license being a fraud. I'm not a commercial driver. I'm not transporting persons or property for commerce for a fee. This is a private traveler in my private conveyance, in my private car. This is not a vehicle, Department of Motor Vehicles. And so I felt so free doing that. And then I became targeted because I was doing right to travel. I had private plates on my car. And then I was also a public activist out there on the beaches in a super status lefty county. And so that, you know, those two combos put an X over me. And so they just started throwing all these charges at me with my court case. Some details are at freedavid.org, and hoping to do a civil case here shortly. But it really comes down to understanding that these truths of self-ownership are liberating and exciting, and they are the future. And where we are in history is very young. The Declaration of Independence, I think, was a great document for the most part. And it declared that we have unalienable rights from the Creator. Whereas if you read the United Nations 30 Sustainable Declaration of Human Rights. It says you have the rights which the government gives you effectively. So read that. You look at the Bill of Rights, you look at the Declaration of Human Rights. You see which one is more pro-human and pro-freedom. And then the Declaration of Independence is at some point we have a right to alter or abolish the government. And I think there's a great phrase which said that, I think it was Jeff Berwick who said that he dreams of a world where there's 7 billion governments. And effectively, this body is my kingdom. And right. I would just say, I dream of the world where there's 7 billion kings and queens. I believe you are the king of yourself. I'm the king of myself. The queens, we are royalty. We're all equal. No one has the right to force us or coerce us into doing anything. And as more people talk about it, then we're all just going to not comply. And I think I saw someone from Canada doing something, United Comply or United Non-Compliance, something like that. And I think that's true. I think that's true. Because what we did on the beach, which was they closed the beaches, but they don't own the beaches. So we would have bonfires on the beach and we would have something called Voluntary Solutions Bonfires. And it's illegal to be on the beach past 10 p.m., even though they're shutting down the restaurants, the churches, the businesses. There's literally no place to gather. And so the rangers would come up on the beach and they say, okay, guys, you can't have a fire. You can't have alcohol, can't have glass. And we would just calmly live stream and record them and say, is this your beach? Do you own this beach? Where do you get the authority to kick us off the beach? And, you know, most officers and rangers never been confronted with that. And so we stay calm. We understand they're under status slavery themselves. They actually believe that they have rights on the beach. But we would say, sir, with all due respect, this beach was here long before your organization was even created. So I don't know what type of authority you're bringing over on here. And so, again, we kept doing that week in and week out. We would have live bands and people coming together. And it was a glimpse of the future, in my opinion. My belief at this point is if you have 8 or 12 people who know they own their body, that government is illegitimate, and you guys unite around a common vision or mission, you cannot be stopped because they're going after easy targets, and that's why they try to isolate people and make you feel alone and make you feel like a mouse. But in reality, we are mountain lions. We are powerful. We are eagles. We are very strong. And when we come together with a common purpose, which seems to be freedom of choice, and when I introduce people to the idea of voluntarism, which many people haven't heard of, I say, here's the agreement. I promise not to force you to do anything if you promise not to force me to do anything. Can we agree on that? Yes, we believe in voluntary relationships. Yes, congratulations, you're now voluntarious. Okay, awesome, because it's a win-win. It's good for everybody. So I wish someone had taught me that as a child. I would have got it, and probably 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds are getting it. I got this great story, and I'll give it back. The one of my friends, she has a 5-year-old son in this story, and she taught him about self-ownership. So anytime she goes to pick him up, she says, hey, can mommy pick you up? Yay, mommy, pick me up. Well, they go to a family reunion, and these adults, mostly status, I would assume, or just unaware. Oh, hey, little Johnny. And he goes to pick up little Johnny, and Johnny slams his elbow down and says, hey, you need my consent to pick me up. And the uncle or the family says, oh, sorry. And he says, oh, well, can I pick you up? He says, no, thank you. And he runs off, you know, and does his little thing. So it's like, how powerful is that 5-year-old? More powerful than, you know, grown men and women to know that your consent is required to touch or to pick me up or to do anything with that. So this is, I think, where it's going is parents who understand these principles and are simplifying it, because as I think Bill Mollison said, the problems we face are very complex, but the solutions are embarrassingly simple. And so the first one is, who owns your body? And these are the questions that we would pose. We were doing the activism, and as we're continually talking with people and helping them liberate themselves from their own mental enslavement, that's one of the first questions I ask is, who owns your body?
Yeah. And you just said it, mental enslavement. And in my book, I identify mental slavery is the root cause to physical slavery. It's what inevitably leads to physical slavery. And for me, how I got out of this mess of statism for myself was asking questions. And so now I use the same strategy with the people that, you know, I talk to. I just ask them questions and they could decide for themselves. You know, we're not imposing our will. We're not saying you have to do this or that, but there are people who are. And we simply don't want them to drag us into their net. So let's say, yeah, there are some people who say, yeah, you know what? I want that security. I want this peace and security by the government and by these people and these gang of people who claim to represent me and have this authority that, you know, they somehow proclaim to have. Let's say they want that, you know, so long as they don't push us into their net and bring us with them. It's a voluntary relationship, but that is voluntarism, right? Is understanding what is a voluntary relationship. You want to be with somebody, you want to hire somebody to protect your property, then you can do that. But if you don't, well, then don't. You know, if you don't want to pay for some sort of tax because somebody says, well, you have to pay this for the greater good and the common good, making some sort of justification, you know, of this, you know, means for an ends, morality, you know. Well, if you want to live under that, I mean, you get the choice. In reality, you get to choose. But if you are enslaved, you don't get to choose. You don't have that ability to choose what you want to do with your own property. So really very, very powerful stuff that you shared with us. You shared with us so many great resources already for the audience. And we're at already about the hour mark. So if you want to share a bit more about where people can find a lot more of your works and a lot of the links, and you already mentioned some websites that you're involved with, do you want to give people like where they can find maybe all your links or where they can find most of your content?
Sure. Yeah. You go to davidjamesrodriguez.com. I'll have the link tree there, and the valoracademy.com will be up and talking about accelerated graduations, as well as homeschoolleader.com. You can get on the email list and we'll be launching that as well, having bi-weekly training calls for parents about homeschooling. Because as you can see, Corey's done a lot of work and research, and so have I on myself and my thinking and beliefs. So you're also going to have to do that as well, mom and dad. So we'll have these trainings up and these calls, because it's little by little, you know, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's hard. So don't think you have to swallow this elephant of self-education, homeschooling, accelerated graduation in one conversation. I know it's taken me a long time to self-reflect, contemplate, ask myself questions, as you have, Corey, and really get honest with myself and say, what is going on and why is my family this way? Why is society this way? Why are seemingly good people doing this to peaceful, innocent individuals? What's going on here? And, you know, that's how you eat an elephant, is one bite at a time. So yeah, you can go to those websites. There's some Telegram groups by those names as well. And then I think what's exciting also for the coming future is the concept of voluntary villages. And this is where you have your family. And now the question that I get is, well, where can I find other freedom families, right? And so whether people get together on 100 acres or 500 acres and build a little physical village together, or in the same city and have kind of your homestead and my homestead, I think independent water, independent food and energy is one of the real solutions as well. And I appreciate what the Free State Project is doing out there in New Hampshire. They have some really cool stuff going on. There's solutions that are starting to blossom in ways that we couldn't imagine. And I'm just grateful to be where I am, to have the loving family that I have and support around me, and, you know, where we are in history. You know, this is what an opportunity to be here now, to have this technology and to connect with people like you, Corey, and your audience. I have a lot of respect for moms and dads who are reevaluating their beliefs, because the easiest thing to do is to put your head in the sand, pretend like everything's okay and the government's gonna take care of us. And it's really hard to pull your head out of the sand, look what's going on, take a step, join new communities, read new books, and challenge your deepest beliefs, your deepest assumptions. And normally when you do that, you become more free, you become liberated, you become more happy and more joyful. And some of the best people on the earth have admitted their ignorance. And I have to quote them. It was Voltaire, it was Einstein, and it was Socrates. And they all had one version of, well, Socrates said, I know one thing, and that's I know nothing. And I think Einstein said, every genius has to admit he or she knows nothing. And then Voltaire said, after reading and acquiring all these things, I realize I don't know anything. So if these great people are able to say that, then I can say that. And I invite you to consider saying that, because then we put ourselves down and we can come and treat life as amazing adventure, an amazing journey, and things to learn and discover. And so we keep learning until the end of our days, and then hopefully we can pass the torch. And I think that's what this is all about, is making the world a better place, having some effect on intergenerational freedom to help build a voluntary world one relationship at a time.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for coming on here and sharing everything about what you're up to and all these great projects. I'm glad to also get involved and meet you. I mean, there's so many great things happening. You're right. And if people want to get involved, they absolutely can. So I encourage, if they want, they can even reach out to myself and I can hopefully maybe guide them in the right direction if they want certain resources. I made, you know, videos recently going over tons of resources and, you know, just do a little bit of research and it goes a long way. I've met people I never thought I'd meet before, ran into ideas I never thought I'd run into before, but it's powerful once you actually sit down with it, like you said, contemplate it and then put into action, you know, put a little seed in the garden, all of a sudden starts growing. You're like, wow, I can actually grow food. You know, it's just for example. But I appreciate you sharing this. And I have one final question, I guess, maybe to wrap this up, because, you know, we are talking about independent creators. Do you think their independent media needs to do more than what they're doing right now? A lot of independent media might just be covering news content. They might just be covering what's going on in the current day. Do you think there are actions that they can take to cause and spark up this activism that we want to see, rather than produce just news content?
Great question, Corey. And I would say yes. I think one of the revelations I had, which kind of helped me step more into my power, was rather than me reporting on the news, I'd rather make the news. And this is not to say like be on TV. This is to say go do something which is worthy of other people telling other people about. And then as independent media producers, I think it's really helpful when they put focus on some solutions out there that are inspiring and hopeful for other people, because anybody can focus on the problem, and most people do, but it takes a champion, a visionary, a leader to focus on solutions. And if we don't have solutions, we get together and say, hey guys, what are we going to do? You know, and this is what we did in Santa Cruz. Once we saw, like, this is, I think, a month into the scamdemic, actually Howard was there at the meeting. Me and him co-created this meeting, and we said, hey, let's call up our friends, because I had been in the area for a while. I had some networked freedom lovers there. And we got together and we started this, I think it was, I can't remember, it was Freedom Friday, something like that. But it was like, what are we going to do? Most of them, God bless them, were status at that point. Howard had his book, and, you know, me and Howard met at Acapulco. So we knew what time it was. We knew this is a real solution, calling out the illegitimacy of government. And, you know, we respect all those people, but some of them are still holding on to statism. But the point is, you get together and you say, we're all concerned. I know you guys are all freedom and you're all conscious, but we don't know what to do. We're trying to get together to have this conversation of the solutions and brainstorm. And I think that's what it is. So doing things that are newsworthy, but even reporting on things is very helpful. This is not to denigrate anybody who's saying, here's the problem, they secretly passed this bill or whatever. But ultimately, I think the root solution is to call out the illegitimacy of authority, that nobody has authority over you, your body, your life, your property, unless you consent, and begin talking about that openly. I realize if you're in an urban area, you might be outnumbered by super statists, but more rural places seem to have more freedom-minded people. But again, even in urban areas, you can find freedom people and get together. And I think there's a concept called freedom cells, which is interesting. Yeah. But the point is just to get together and say, hey guys, we see this lockdown is coming. We see maybe a shutdown, a food supply shortage, something like this. And say, we got it. We got the problems. Now, what are the solutions? It seems to me that growing our own food is a solution. And so I'll be working on some of these things also with, I think, Food Forest Abundance, Jim Gale. I have positive news. This is the first time this spring and summer I planted anything really. And I grew some eggplant. I grew some tomatoes. I'm working on some watermelons and these basic things. But Jack Spurko said at Float Fest, he said, you don't have to like design a whole 3-acre farm. He said, step out the back door of your house, find the first piece of soil and plant something right there and see what happens. That's all you got to do. So again, it's like the school mind that I have is you got to have all these things. It's like, no, you take the seed, you plant it, and now you're a farmer. So I got some eggplant now, and we tried some eggplant. It was really cool. But that joy of knowing that you planted that and that came out is so exciting. And, you know, as more people do this, all these mega food corporations are going to have less business. And it's a big problem. Self-sustainability, self-independence, self-reliance is a big problem for them. It's a great joy for us. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing. Yes, exactly. We're part of nature. Yeah, we're connected to nature and water and food and independence. So yeah, those are some of the ideas here. And we're just continuing to create media. I think, yeah, no matter what platforms are out there, make media, contribute, add. And like yourself, you know, very professional and very joyful to talk with you, but then your strength develops, your skills develop. And pretty soon, you know, you see yourself as an equal to the top people out there in the world, because we all are equal. It's the school that pushes down, the media, the celebrity worship, all this, you know, baloney. And we just got to keep making it. So yeah, it's a long haul, but we're here for something magical and important. And we're just going to keep chopping away. And little by little, we're going to see us create a really beautiful world that's based on consent and the truth of self-ownership and non-aggression.
Yes. And abolish slavery once and for all in all its forms.
Yes,
absolutely agree. It's funny, this says in the Declaration of Independence, alter or abolish. Kind of funny to me, but because I use the word abolitionism, I call myself an abolitionist instead of a voluntarist. Nice. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. Yeah. But I appreciate, you know, I also say life is a practice and you got to practice. And if people want to see a lot more of your works, I encourage they do. I saw that you have all your links on davidjamesrodriguez.com, right? So it links them to your link tree, which has a bunch of links. I encourage people check that out and see all the great stuff that you're up to. And if anybody wants to see a lot more speakers like this, go to nita.one/summit, nita.one/summit. Welcome to the End of Slavery Summit. Thank you very much for watching. Take care.